going on, everyone? My name is J.R. Robinson. I'd like to welcome you to Unique Speaks Erotica, a podcast where I talk about relationships, love, and sex, all from my perspective. Let me say thank you to everyone who has listened and supported this podcast from the beginning. Each day, you know, this podcast grows because of you, and I greatly appreciate it. Tonight, I'm going to explore the five pillars of trust in relationships. I'll talk about what trust is, why it's important, and how you can build it strong within your relationship. Also, my question of the night is, what does your favorite sex position reveal about your personality? So please, go ahead and do me a favor. Sit back, relax. I'll be right back with the question of the night. Right, so my question of the night is, what does your favorite sex position reveals about your personality? Now, before I go any further, let me say that this podcast is about relationships, it's about dating, it's about sex, and also it's about fucking. On any given day, I can talk about all four of those topics. And I think I do a good job of not having a question that's about sex and having a topic about sex. And a couple of days ago, someone said, well, do it always have to be about sex? And I'm like, well, I know I pride myself on not making my podcast about sex, because that doesn't interest me all the time to talk about sex. So I don't know what it is. Maybe because I'm doing it, I'm a man. You know what I'm saying? But for some reason, some people just have a problem with me doing this. You know? But that's cool, because you can't stop this flow. You can't stop what I'm trying to do. This is from the heart. This is, you know, with some passion. And this is what I'm supposed to do. So now that I've got that off my chest, what's your favorite sex position? What does your favorite sex position reveals about you? There's some truth to the idea that certain, you know, sex positions can give you a glimpse into what someone is like in the bedroom. For example, someone who prefers to be in control and take charge during sex is likely to be the same way in other areas of their life. Likewise, someone who is more easygoing and prefers to let their partner take the lead is probably more likely to be the same when it comes to how they live their life. So if you're curious about what someone is like in the bedroom, take note of their favorite sex position. Although there are many positions documented in the Kumar Sutra and nearly 600 documented intercourse positions. I never knew it was that many positions. I know about four, five offhand that I can call up or that I've done. Now, when I was younger, I probably did a whole lot of them, but it ain't no 600. And I think one day I'm going to have to cover the Kuma Sutra, because I can't talk about stuff I've never been a part of, I've never done. Like, I don't know anything about threesomes, never been with a man, never wanted to be in any type of moresome, type setting with multiple people. So for me to talk about the Kuma Sutra, I would have to really do some research, because I've never really gotten into it. You know, I think it was something that was just a little bit beyond where I was at, and I never really tapped in it, but I think I will. But this 600, you know, documented intercourse positions, that shit blew me. I'm like, oh, okay. Definitely have to check that out. Now, some of the basic positions that I know about is, you know, get on top, you know, the color purple, Mr. Getting on Top of Ceiling Syndrome, doggy style, standing up, you know, your partner is facing the wall and you're standing behind them. So I'm going to give you a couple of them that's a little bit more, you know, that's less boring. Okay. The first one is missionary. Now, I know I said I was going to give you one that wasn't boring, but everybody said missionary is boring. But to me, missionary is like one of the best, if not the best position for me, because it reveals so much about your personality. People who prefer missionary position are usually loyal. Let me say that again. From my perspective, women who love missionary are usually loyal. I can't speak on that enough, because when I went back and I thought about people who I was with and we, you know, did a lot of missionary sex, the it's in the upper 90 percentile of how many of them young ladies were loyal or are loyal people. So that hit it for me. That hit it off the rip for me, because being loyal, reliable, and conventional agrees with who I am. Now, I'm not going to say I was always loyal, but I needed my woman to be loyal. You know, and it took me a while to catch up to that concept, you know. But the majority of the time, the women that I've been with are loyal people. Now, there have been some dishonest motherfuckers who I wish I could take back, but you charge that to the game, you know. People who like, you know, missionary position, they stick to the tried and true. They're not afraid of a challenge. They're usually good communicators. They're able to express their needs and desires, and they're good at listening to their partner. If you're a fan of the missionary position, it means you're more likely to be traditional, romantic, and a bit of a homebody. You like things simple and straightforward. You're also probably pretty good at just, you know, saying what's on your mind and not having a whole bunch of passive, you know, ways about yourself, you know, talking in riddles, not being, you know, open, honestly, when you're communicating, you know. And this, like I said, this position has been labeled as vanilla or boring by some, but that's not necessarily the case. People who enjoy missionary position might be seen as just intimate, you know? And to me, this isn't to say that people who enjoy sex are any less. I'm not saying that people who enjoy sex, who prefer missionary, enjoy sex any less. But the missionary position just tend to be associated with these traits that, like I said, agrees with me. The next one is spoon. Now, spooning is a popular sex position that reveals a lot about the personality. People who love the spoon are usually affectionate, intimate, and enjoy close physical contact. They tend to be gentle and loving, and they crave intimacy and connection. One of my favorites, doggy style. I think doggy style needs no explanation. Some women don't like it. I've come to find that some women don't like being treated or, you know, put in that position because they feel as if they're treated like an animal. I'm like, hey, where you get that from? How do you come up with that way of thinking? But, you know, it's not me, so I can't knock someone for feeling that way, but it's just funny that, you know, people will associate doggy style with being an animal. And I get it. Doggy style, you know, someone's behind you, and that's how pets can have, you know, intercourse. So I understand it, but it's just like, wow, okay. But, for example, doggy style reveals that you're likely confident and you enjoy taking charge. Now, I see that with the person who's behind the other person. Now, the person who's in front, I think they're more submissive. You have a more submissive tone. You know, If you're someone who likes to be in control, you might prefer doggy style. This position allows you to be in control of depth, speed, and angle of position of penetration. Yeah. You definitely can control your depth and the speed, and you can put it in the right angle. If you're someone who likes to take things slow, you might not want to be in this position. Also, if you're someone who likes to feel submissive, you prefer doggy style. In this position, you put your partner in control, which can be a turn on for some people. Some people like submitting themselves to their partner, so they don't mind. Well, some women don't mind the position because it lets them submit themselves to their male, you know, sex partner. So I get that. Because when you got the person in the back, he's the dominant person. He's controlling the flow. And when you got the person in front, the woman in front, she is letting that person control, and she's submitting herself to him. Okay, so I get that analogy. Standing. Now, standing has never been really a good one for me, being that I'm 6'6". And for some reason, I've always liked shorter women. Women about 5'7", you know, around the average height, 5'7", 5'6". And every so often, I may get, you know, 1'5", a couple of 6 feet. 6 feet women. But mainly everyone was around 5'6", 5'7". So it was a little difficult because I always had to, you know, drop my body, lower my body, and then kind of rise back up in order to find the right angle. And sometimes, you know, with me having back issues. And it's not back issues from sex. It was like working from, you know, in manufacturing plants and working, you know, in the Navy, dealing with weapons and stuff like that. You know, my back just ain't what it used to be. You know, I didn't too much care for standing. And there's nothing wrong with enjoying a good standing position. In fact, it's a great way to get a workout while enjoying intimate time with your partner. If this is your favorite position, it probably means you're confident, you enjoy taking control. You probably also are very athletic, since it takes a bit of effort to stand upright during sex. Reverse cowgirl. If your position is reverse cowgirl, it might say something about your personality. People who prefer this position can be more spontaneous and adventurous, and they may enjoy feeling the feelings in control of during sex. If you're one who's in control during the reverse cowgirl, you may enjoy being in charge in other areas of life, in your life as well. If you're the one... Yeah, okay. That don't... Okay. The next one is girl on top. And I kind of like associate that with riding, you know. But, I don't know, that girl on top, not to be too graphic, but okay, there are many different sex positions that people enjoy, and for example, someone who enjoys the girl on top position might be someone who's confident, who likes to be in control. This position is also very intimate and allows a lot of eye contact and physical closeness. Yes, Lord. Someone who enjoys this position might be someone who's passionate and enjoy being close to their partner. Let me say, you know, I had a moment when I thought about the girl on top position. That's very intimate. That's almost as intimate as me being on top of her. Something about the eye contact. You know, when you got that eye contact going, it speaks louder than words. You don't have to say nothing.
and know that that person is enjoying you or loves you. It could be the way they move. It could be the way their eyes close and open back up and look down at you, or you look up at them. That is one of the most sensual moments when you're being intimate. When you're not saying nothing and your eyes are doing the talking and you got your woman sitting on top of you and she's thick and she feels good and the friction and the motion and the, oh my God.
Okay, on to the next one. Lotus. I don't think I've ever tried the lotus position. It's indicative of a more spiritual and intimate personality. It's often seen as, it requires a great deal of trust and physical and emotional closeness between partners. It also is for someone who craves that closeness, intimate relationships, and enjoy the spiritual connection during sex. 69. One of my favorites. I think that's self-explanatory because each partner is satisfying each other at the same time. So there's no 68 and you owe me one. There's no one being left out. And if you do it right, you can both achieve orgasm at the same time. Okay. Now, not to go too far into who did what. I enjoy it. But it was rare to find someone who could sustain it. And what I mean by that, someone who can maintain focus while giving you pleasure. Someone who can receive pleasure and give pleasure at the same time. That's hard. And I've fell short on a couple of times when I've had someone who was extraordinary in the fellatio department. Someone who knew what they was doing, someone who enjoyed doing what they was doing and didn't complain or didn't, I gotta take a breath, I can't breathe, you know what I'm saying? Someone who was a sensei at fellatio. And like I said, it's one of my favorites, but to find someone who can meet you at the level that you are when it comes to satisfying in that position is hard. Those who enjoy the 69 position are likely to be people who enjoy receiving and giving at the same time. This can indicate that they are someone who is generous and giving and who enjoys a good challenge. To wrap this up, your favorite sex position says a lot about your personality. If you like being in control, you might be a type A personality. If you like being submissive, you may be the more type B personality. And if you like switching it up, you might be a bit of a wild card. No matter what your favorite sex position is, just enjoy, have fun, and be happy. And on that note, I'll be right back with my topic of the night. Alright, so I'm back with my topic of the night, which is the five pillars of trust in the relationship. Imagine the sun is shining, the birds are singing, and all is right with your world. You're in a great mood as you walk hand in hand with your partner, and all of a sudden your significant other stops, looks at you, and looks you in the eye. Says, I have something to tell you. Already, you pretty much have an idea of what it is, but you don't want to acknowledge it. So you ask, what is it? I cheated on you. Your heart sinks. You feel betrayed, hurt, pissed off all at once. But in the midst of all those emotions, you also realize that this moment could define your relationship. The ability to trust is essential for any relationship to thrive. Trust is one of the most important foundations for any relationship. It's what allows us to feel safe with someone, to be vulnerable, and to open up. Because without trust, relationships quickly become dysfunctional and even unrepairable. So why is trust so important? And how can we build trust in relationships? Because without trust, it's difficult to build foundations. Trust is the glue that holds the whole situation that you got with someone together. There are many different types of trust. For example, there's trust in yourself, trust in others, trust in a higher power. But when it comes to trust with someone that you love, that's undeniable. That goes without saying. It's the key component. Everything else can be shaken. Everything else can be repairable. Everything else is fixable. But trust is not. Because once, it's hard for people to trust you from the beginning. To even let themselves open up to want to trust someone. So if they throw all their cards in and if they give in to trusting someone, then that's it. They're wide open. There's nothing else they can. They can't reverse that decision. They chose you. And that should make you feel special. Some people don't think that, you know, it's a big thing to be chosen by someone. But in my book, trust is hard to earn. And if I choose to let you in my life, to let you see who I am and to be around my family, my children, and to be in my life, then nothing can happen. You can't bring no foolishness. You can't tell me you cheated. You can't tell me that you made a mistake and this is not what you want to do. Because that's a problem. That's a huge problem. Especially for someone who don't believe in trusting someone from the beginning. And if you're struggling with trust issues, it's important to talk to someone that you do care about. Because they can help you work through these issues and build that trust again. Honesty is a foundation of trust. If you can't be honest with your partner, you can't expect them to trust you. Communication is key to maintaining trust. And if you're not communicating, then they're not going to trust you. Commitment is necessary to build trust. Respect is essential when it comes to trust. Because if you don't respect your partner, they're not going to trust you. Intimacy is the glue that binds trust together. Transparency. Transparency is a key in building trust because it allows both partners to be open and honest with each other. It's important to communicate openly and regularly, sharing both your positive and negative feelings. This allows you for a deeper level of understanding and connection. Accountability. Accountability is the willingness to be held accountable for your actions and to take responsibility for your words and deeds. Accountability is what keeps us honest and true to our word, and it also allows us to be trustworthy. Just saying the word trust has meaning. You know what I'm saying? Accountability also is the key to trust. When we are accountable, we are trustworthy. When we're trustworthy, we're at a point where we can build trust. Ethical actions. There are many things that you can do to be ethical in your relationship. Being honest, reliable, and fair are just a few. You should also be respectful of your partner's feelings and boundaries. And if you're ever in doubt about what you should do, you can always ask your partner for help or direction. Proof of alliance. This one's kind of important. Very important. Proof of alliance is when both partners are willing to sacrifice for each other and be there during difficult times. This demonstrates that they are truly committed to the relationship and they are willing to do whatever it takes to make it work. The five pillars of trust in a relationship are essential to a healthy and happy relationship. Because without trust, your relationship crumbles. You and your partner are struggling with, if you and your partner are struggling with trust, be sure to communicate openly and work together to build that trust back. Because it is imperative that you understand that if I open up to you, if I share things with you, if I count on you to do what you say, then guess what? These things got to happen. And I got to trust you to do it. I got to believe that you're going to do it with no problem. You're going to be able to understand that as my partner, if we have trust, we have nothing. It's important. I can't express enough how important trust is in relationships. The whole ability to trust is everything. It's totally everything in a relationship. It's what makes the relationship grow. It's what makes me feel like when we're not together, everything is all right. If you're like in another state and I'm here waiting on you to come back, you got to know that when we're not together, then I'm doing everything I'm doing, everything I'm supposed to do as if you are here and vice versa. I need to know that just because you got time away from me, you're not going online trying to get some, you know, sex from someone else or some attention from someone else because we are apart. That, man, that is huge in relationships. And I think a lot of relationships fail because people are not being held accountable. People are not being honest. They're not being transparent. Very unethical actions are happening in relationships. And the thing is, people nowadays, they're so caught up with social media or wanting to be outspoken or be righteous. They'll put what they're doing out there in the universe and not think something's wrong with it, or not even understand what they're saying and what they're doing is projecting exactly what it is that they're doing that makes me not trust you. I can't trust a person who's constantly online. I can't trust a person if I'm with you and you constantly got a phone in your face and recording or letting everybody know what's going on. I mean, I have dealt with people like that, but it bothers me. You know? What we got going on is between us, and I need to trust that you understand. And it goes back to that word, trust, that you understand what it is that makes me feel uncomfortable. Because there are just some things you don't need to broadcast. And a person like me, everything is between me and you, you know? Nobody don't need to know our problem because they can't fix it. I've never been into, you know, talking to counselors or people who can help you with your relationship. Now, I've done it. There was one time where I felt like I needed to have saved a relationship, and I reached out to someone and asked them, can they help me? Because I was at my last straw. You know what I'm saying? I didn't know what else to do because she was getting ready to leave. The trust was gone. I mean, the trust was gone for months. Maybe a year or two. But she hung in there with me. And, you know, eventually we did break, you know, go our separate ways. But when we started out, she had so much trust in us having a long-lasting relationship. And I projected that to her. I gave her the insight that, hey, this is what we can do. But I wasn't being sincere. I wasn't being real. I wasn't being accountable. I wasn't being, you know, transparent.
I didn't, you know, provide any proof of alliance. My alliance lied with some other people. Or my alliance lied with what it was I wanted to do. What I felt was needed for me to be happy and not what I needed my relationship to be. With the person who I made promises and who I had, you know, told that they could trust me. So, you know, not to, you know, give one of my stories, but it relates to me. And in relationships today, you know, I gotta trust you. It can't be no second thoughts. It can't be no, I can't wake up in the middle of the night and be like, what the fuck? Why she ain't call? Where she at? I can't do that. Cause it'll drive me crazy. You know, I try to be all smooth and you know, and not, you know, catch feelings, but shit, man. When you with someone and you spending time and you happy and you can have a level of trust with that person, feelings will happen. Even to the hardest man, to the person who think he can overcome any issues, that shit will hit you like a bag of bricks. So, you know, I make it known, look, if it's going to be about a bunch of games and bullshit, you can bypass me. Because I ain't got time, man. I'm a man of a certain age, and I ain't got time to be wondering what the fuck you doing. I need to trust your word that you're going to do what you say you're going to do. And you're going to strive to do it each and every day. Because that's what I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you what it is that you need. I'm going to give it to you so much, it's going to be coming out your nose. It's going to be coming out your ears. You're going to be flooded with what it is that you need from me. But I got to trust that you're going to give that same energy, that same love, that same fucking what I'm giving you. Even when you don't want to. Even when you don't want to, when you're feeling bad and you're just in a bad mood, you still got to give. Because that's what relationships are about, giving. I mean, yeah, you got to take care of yourself, and you hopefully you got a partner who will be like, you know what? I got us. I'm going to hold us down. Trust me. Trust me. I got you. That says a lot. When you down and out, whatever the situation is, if you on some hard luck type shit, and you got someone who looks you in your face, and you see that they're sincere, and they say, trust me, one of the best feelings in the world. Incredible feeling, because you know you can let your guard down. You can get yourself together. If it's your mental health or your physical health, whatever it is, you can get yourself together because you know in your corner there's someone that you can trust to hold it down. Trust is huge, ladies and gentlemen. It's huge in relationships. It's imperative that you maintain a strong level of trust with your partner across the board. You got to trust them to be able to handle business if you can't handle it. You got to trust them to say they're going to not let someone else entertain them and pursue them or persuade them to do something that you and them share. Trust is like, in bold letters, caps, all caps, trust. I got to trust you. And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to go ahead and end this podcast. I want to say thank you once again to everyone who supports, everyone who's, you know, listening, everyone who's subscribing to the podcast. Saturday night had something going on and I couldn't pop one off, you know what I'm saying? But, I came back with something that I had on my calendar, and I was able to knock it out. But once again, man, thank everybody for listening to the podcast. Continue to listen. Continue to share the podcast. And when you share the podcast, guess what? I get more listeners. And if I get more listeners, then I grow and grow and grow and grow. But anyway, thank you again. Continue to listen.
Anything you want to hit me up about, when he speaks erotica at gmail.com. I'm open to any questions, any comments, you know, as long as you're respectable. And I hope everybody have a good night. Take care of yourselves, and I'll talk to you next week. Peace.